Derek Mortimer reads The Wish from his collection of short stories, Meridian. Danny squats in front of a glowing hearth and carefully places a piece of coal on the fire. Then another. Smoke drifts up the chimney. Don't put too much on or we'll get into trouble, Michael warns. Shh, shut up. You won't be able to see him if there's not enough light, Danny tells him. Michael stands on tiptoe and looks up at the big oval mirror above the fireplace. He can see the dark reflection of the room behind him, the piano, the blue vase painted with swallows, Mum and Dad's wedding photo, all four of them when they were at Morecambe, before Dad went away. There's postcards and other stuff, put there until a place can be found for them. Pushed up close to the piano is a long stool with curly black legs. Torn sheet music hangs from the tray beneath. The new coal's beginning to burn. The boys watch blue flames spurt and flicker. Danny opens the air vent with a poker and the fire burns brighter. The only light in the gloomy room. In the mirror, Michael can make out the reflections of a table piled high with their mum's magazines. And on a triangular space in one corner, a half-full cup of tea.
Give me a hand,
Danny orders, and crosses to the piano stool. They each take hold of the corner and carry it across the room and place it in front of the fire beneath the mirror.
Not too near, Opie. It'll cast light.
Danny moves the stool. Michael climbs up and looks into the glass.
What you gonna wish for when the devil comes?
He asks his brother. Not saying. If you tell somebody you wish it won't come true, Danny tells him.
I'm not telling you either then,
Michael says.
Anyway, the fire's not ready yet.
It has to be hot enough for him to leave it. You need the lights out and a real bright fire to make it shadows, Danny tells him.
I know. I'm just practicing looking. I can practice, can I?
Michael stares straight ahead into the mirror at the reflection of the room. Rain rattles the windows behind the heavy curtains. The branches of the bare trees in the garden tap the glass. Smoke gusts through the chimney.
Let's put the fire guard back.
Michael turns nervously to his brother.
Why? Mum says we should always leave it there, except when we're putting coal on. No, you can't see proper that way. It blocks the firelight, Danny tells him. How long before it's hot enough?
Michael asks. Danny climbs onto the piano stool next to his brother. He tucks the jacket of his striped pyjamas into his mismatched pants. Below them the fire glows red under the black coal and little blue flames spurt from bubbles of tar. They stand looking into the mirror, watching the flickering shadows dance over the ceiling, waiting.
How long before the fire's right?
Michael asks again.
Soon. I told you, shut up. You'll break the spell and don't move.
Their arms are straight by their sides like soldiers at attention. They look dead ahead. Inside the mirror, there's another room. They can no longer see the piano, nor the vase with the swallows, nor the table. This is a room of dark caves and corners, of flickering light and shadows that slide across the ceiling. A silent room where the devil can hide. He can hide anywhere, behind anything, even between the piano and the wall. If they stand long enough and still enough, he'll appear, maybe from a corner or a shadow.
Maybe he'll slide up behind and look over their shoulders. The devil always wears a long black cloak. He has a red hood. Just his face shows, with its little beard and twirly moustache. His face has green scales instead of skin. A rat tail with a pointy end grows from his behind. His teeth are black, and his eyes are red and can see right into you. He smells of fire and coal because he lives in fire and coal. Everybody knows that. The only way he can come into the human world is from a mirror. If you're brave and you don't run away or scream and cry when he comes, he'll grant your wish. He has to, because you've seen him. Danny and Michael each have a wish. Now's the time. The fire blazes brighter. It's so hot that it's burning Michael's knees through his pyjamas. But he didn't complain, or the devil won't show up. Or he'll become really angry when he does, then he'll bite you with his black teeth and you'll turn scaly, then die. The fire's blazing now. There's enough shadows for him to hide in, and enough light to be seen when he looks over their shoulder. The rain's gone. The wind's dropped. There's no more swish of an occasional car on the wet street. There's only the sound of the clock on the mantelpiece beneath the mirror. Slowly, the fire dies down. Michael's knees stop burning. There are no more shadows dancing on the ceiling. The corners of the room are dark. It is very late. They should have been in bed ages ago. They promised their mum. Still, the devil doesn't come. Michael's legs ache. He's afraid he'll fall into the fire. He can just make out Danny's face. His lips are squeezed together and his jaws clenched like when he's angry or scared. Michael's scared. Scared of the devil coming. Scared to speak in case he frightens him away when he does come and Danny thumps him. He wants him to come so he can make his wish. But what if he comes and he's angry because they've done something wrong? What if he lashes them with his scaly tail? Michael's eyes hurt from staring into the mirror. He wants to blink, but he daren't, in case when he opens them the devil's looking over his shoulder. He listens to the silence and wishes they'd never done this. He wishes he was in bed. It was Danny's idea, not his. "Turn the light on!" he yells suddenly, so loud he frightens himself. Danny's heart nearly knocks a hole in his ribs. "You do it!" he yells back. "You turn it off, then you turn it on!" Michael thinks of the vast darkness between him and the switch on the wall near the door and the devil who might be waiting to grab him. "No! You're a yellow belly!" Danny shouts. "I'm not, you are! You broke the spell, he's not going to come!" Danny's angry and relieved. "He might be hiding," Michael says. "You yeller! So are you then." Michael's close to crying. They stand in the growing darkness looking into the mirror, too afraid to move. Cold creeps in. The fire flickers feebly. What if the devil is waiting until it's really dark so he can grab them? "Put some coal on," Danny orders. "You put it on." Michael looks down at the half bucket of coal. If he puts coal on, there will be even less light until it gets going. He tries to build up his courage. He can stay in the deepening dark with a knot of fear in his belly, or he can make a dash for the light switch. He bites his lip. Then, with one last look into the mirror, he spins, jumps off the stool and dashes for the light switch. Before he gets there, the door bursts open. The devil's in front of him in a red hood. Michael yells and runs back towards the fire and Danny. He collides with a piano stool and knocks his brother to the floor, and they scream and wriggle and try to stand up. Suddenly the room's full of light. "What you dopey buggers up to now?" They stand and look at their mum in a black coat and red headscarf. Right in bed. They hear a noise in the hall behind her. A man's voice. Oh, bloody hell. Then the click of an outside door. It's the devil. He has come. Come on, get up them steps, then Mam orders. Mam and the boys begin in unison. None of that Mam stuff. Bed. Now, what did I tell you? As Danny and Michael squeeze past, she grabs each one and pushes them up the stairs. She smells of coal and rain, cigarette smoke and beer, face powder and perfume. Get to bed. None of peep out of either of you. I've had enough. They scurry up the stairs. As they run into their mum's room, Michael turns back and pokes his head over the banister. Their man's not there. The outside door's open. She's throwing the devil out. Michael can feel the cold night air seeping up the stairs. He dashes across the iso linoleum in his bare feet and jumps into bed. The rain's started again. Droplets run down the window and trace patterns on the ceiling. Michael burrows under the blankets and coats to where Danny's curled up in a ball trying to get warm. They lie in the dark, hands between bony knees, heads covered, back touching back, warmed by their own breath and each other. They think of the devil and the fire and the wish they never made. The Wish and Other Stories is published in Meridian. Available from the author's website, derekmortimer.com. The Wish and Other Stories is published in Meridian and available from the author's website, derekmortimer.com.